is that LK Mobile?
NLK KO4 NUE. Good evening, Shane. How are you, sir?
Good evening. I am well. I hope you are.
Doing good. This takes me a cup of onion soup and sitting here in a ham shack, so fixing to get refreshed with my onion soup.
Really delicious right about now.
Delay. Our air conditioner quit right at the end of summer when the temperature started to change. And we said, okay, well, we'll just wait till, you know, springtime when we need it again. Well, the last couple of days have been so muggy. We just, well, let's go ahead and get the air conditioner guy out here. So the air conditioner's fixed, and my wife is got me, she's freezing me out of the house, so I'm having to get my pajama bottoms on because it's cold. It's cold in here.
Let me get back with you just a second. I got a phone call. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. 10-4-ZLK.
Okay, we're 4-NUE, standing by. UE, go ahead, Shane.
Chad.
A little bit of something going on, but you're definitely making it. So you headed down south tonight, or not south, but I guess west, I'd say.
South on 85, but it's more of a southwesterly direction on the map. So, yep, that's where I'm headed. I'm down here in Anderson. I'm kind of hilltopping now.
Okay. What's been going on with you? Everything good with you and yours?
Good. I had a nice weekend. I didn't sleep well for some reason. I got off work Friday morning, or Saturday morning, slept for about 4 hours and got up because I thought, oh, I've got Saturday and Sunday night to sleep. But I don't know if it's I'm getting used to being awake at night or something, but and I've got a little issue going on with my neck. I got to go see the chiropractor, but I just didn't sleep well the last two nights, and then I tried to take a nap today and didn't sleep well today, so but now I'm wide awake, so we'll see what happens.
So that, you know, changing shifts like that, that's boy, that can be rough. I did some training down at Fort Gordon, Georgia one year, 28 weeks of it. And they would, because of the material that we trained on, we had to do it at night, on the night shift. And I'm going to tell you, but that was the worst 28 weeks. You know, you mess with a person's sleep, and things kind of go south pretty quick, you know. But I was never so glad to see that training over with in my life. But just the third shift, I don't see how you do it, but
it will mess with you. I can sleep pretty well normally. I don't know what's going on. I think it's my neck issue. But just every time I can't get comfortable laying on one side and it hurts. Laying on the other side, it hurts. I can't try to adjust the pillows, but I seem to be able to sleep pretty well. A couple nights, you know, I'll struggle a little bit if I don't get good sleep, but it seems to work out pretty well. It's not my preferred choice, but just, you know, decided to do a little change at work, and the work is definitely easier. The worst part about it is just doing it at nighttime.
Man, you, that is tough, but, you know, do what you gotta do, I guess. But is traffic any better at night?
Much, much better at nighttime, especially down in the big city. Now, Friday nights is still pretty busy, and everybody's in a big hurry to get where they're going to, and crisscrossing lanes, zipping around between trailers and, you know, trucks and things like that. But most of the time, there's still traffic, but it's much, much better than the daytime.
Okay. Well, I got on 85 the other day. I had to go down toward Piedmont Way, and I hit it wrong, and it just from Highway 14. Oh, I don't know, just about to Woodruff Road, or maybe that's Haywood Road. I forget which one. Woodruff Road, I believe. It's just a parking lot. I mean, you just sat there, and that just frustrates me beyond belief. Is to, you know, have a highway that's, you know, $65 billion, and you just have to sit there, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Present LK. I completely understand, and that section. Area 54, we call it sometimes. Pelham Road is 54. That, especially southbound, it's backed up almost every day. Morning, sometimes in the afternoon, and definitely, you know, at 5 o'clock traffic. It's always that way, and it just, it doesn't matter how many lanes they build. It just, you know, of course, they still got two lanes. Well, I guess it's three lanes up a little bit higher now, but it's just a mess, and they won't build until it's too late, and then it's, you know, then they only get it up to almost what they need, and then it's still too late with all the growth going on.
Fun little story. We have some shipping companies out here at the house delivering packages from time to time, and the other day we had an Amazon driver. Came out, and it's Amazon's policy. I didn't know this, that if there are dogs on the yard, they're not required to deliver the package. So this little young female, she's, you know, she couldn't get out of the vehicle, and she didn't like it. You know, I got a golden retriever. He's a service dog, and then we got little Pixie. She's, I don't know, maybe 10 pounds soaking wet, you know. But, she just, you know, I don't understand why the dogs have to come up to the truck. Why can't they just, you know, I mean, she was just not very polite. But, and it dawned on me that the delivery guy that drives the brown truck, he always has a bag of treats for the dogs. So when they come up in the yard, you know, he's loving up on them and giving them treats and whatnot. So, you know, it dawned on me what was happening. You know, they're wanting a treat. But she wasn't having it.
Exactly right. I used to carry a box of treats when I did the package delivery like that. And they got to the point where they would tell us, don't give dogs treats, because then they get used to it and somebody might run around behind you and not have any, and the dog might get upset. And I'm like, they're not going to bite you just because you don't have a treat. They actually, you know, they'll be disappointed, but they'll be friendly. So I had dogs that I'd take over a route and I could not get close to them, but by the, you know, several months into it, they'd let me love all over them like that, because they knew I had something for them.
My KC, he's, I don't know, 90 last weigh-in. He was 97 pounds. He's a pretty big boy. And he's just, you know, the lovingest thing. I mean, he never hurt a flea. But he just, he yodels, you know. It's not a howl. I don't know how to describe it, and I ain't going to make dog noises on the radio, but I call it yodeling. But he'll just, you know, anytime a truck comes up, a shipping truck, he just gets out there and just yodels and yodels. And especially the women, they don't understand what's, you know, they think he's growling, you know, but he's not. He's just like, hey, I'm glad to see you. Hey, did you bring my treat today? It just messes them up, especially Amazon. They don't know what to do.
You can read a dog generally. They kind of give off signs. I had a German Shepherd one time, came around the corner of the house, biggest German Shepherd I'd ever seen, and he was standing there stock still, his ears up, his tail was not moving, he was just looking at me. And I always would talk to the dogs, you know, I'd start, you know, hey puppy, how you doing, hey buddy, whatever. As soon as I started talking to him, his tail went between his legs, and he just started, you know, shaking his butt, so I, you know, obviously I knew I was okay. But if he'd have stood in that position and not moved, I probably would not have approached the house.
Right. You know, it takes a little bit of being able to see what the dog's doing, you know, ears pinned back and eyes focused, you know, probably won't stay in the truck or throw the package on the porch, one of the two. But, you know, neither one of our dogs do that, you know. It's a funny thing is they can hear. Now, I'm not here. Anna says that they can hear me coming home when I'm about 5 minutes away. So 5 minutes away, I don't know, that puts me a mile or more from the house. I don't know about that, but she says they go to the door or go outside and just wait. And, so I don't know what they're hearing or how they hear or it's a third sense or what, but we always know when you know there's a delivery guy coming, because they, you know, but he starts yodeling and it's just like, okay, well, you know, our packages are coming today. So it's quite the ordeal with these two.
But okay, yeah, they can hear, and a lot of times they can distinguish your car versus one that's very similar when they, you know it's just coming home every day. But I think for insurance reasons, I think insurance companies are telling all these delivery companies to, because even UPS now says if there's a dog there and you don't want to deliver, then you don't have to. And I just, man, we used to have to, it didn't matter. You find a way to deliver it no matter what's there.
Yeah. Well, we've always had dogs out here. We used to do a lot of hog hunting growing up. And when I grew up, we had, I think at one time, we had 32 hounds out here at one time, out here on the farm. And we'd go down to the railhead in Spartanburg and buy the busted bags of dog food to feed them. And so I've been around dogs my whole life. Casey, he's a service dog. And he was issued to another veteran initially, and he didn't work out. He just said the dog was aggressive. He was just not just downright mean, and I had never seen the dog growl at anybody. I've never seen him snap or anything. So I don't exactly know what the deal was with that, but you know, I've been around them enough, I think, to where, you know, I kind of know what's going on. If you can think like them a little bit, that kind of helps things. KO4NUE.
Is that okay? Yeah, I've been bit a few times through the years. The worst one was a lab that was an indoor dog, and a teenage girl opened the door. There was no screen. She just opened the door. I wasn't expecting it. I heard the dog inside, and he came out. And we had just gotten new boards. They're little scanners, and it went down to a real small size. And I used to keep the other one in my hand, so I always had something to put in the face, you know, keep him away from me. But had a little pouch for it, put it in the pouch, and he came out the door and got my arm pretty good. But that was the worst one. There's a couple of leg bites and stuff like that, but you know, that was always just part of the job. I never thought twice about it. For the most part, it was a challenge to try to make friends with them, and you know, you could pull the truck up really close, you could keep your eye on them and just kind of, usually they'd back down if you faced them, but, you know, you always had your ones that you had to be careful with.
We had, at one time, we had two Rhodes and Ridgebacks we used for catch dogs, and those are the only two, the two brothers. Daddy named them Lick and Lap. But they were just mean. I mean, it didn't matter. I couldn't do anything with them. Dad couldn't do anything with them. You know, they weren't too bad on the runs, but as soon as they got on the dog box, that dog box was theirs. You wasn't gonna get near it. They'd eat you up. It didn't matter who it was, me, him, anybody. So I don't know what goes through some of their minds sometimes, but these two here, they wouldn't hurt a flea. But I can understand, you know, somebody new comes up and, you know, he's standing there at the door yodeling at you. But I'll go out there and holler, and they'll settle down. It takes them a little bit. But the guy in the brown truck, he knows the deal. You know, he gets out and loves on them and gives them treats. And Pixie jumped up in the truck one day with him, and he got ready to pull off, and here he comes on the porch holding her. I almost had a rider today, but, you know, you might want to put her in the house. So it's that kind of thing, you know.
Okay, yeah, I do. I remember one house, one route I had, and this one dog, he would wait for me. He'd go in the woods, and they had a long driveway, and I was there almost every day, and he loved chasing them. Not really chasing, just racing to the end of the driveway. And you could just see him standing there waiting, all excited. So I've had him jump on the truck. I've had him come back inside when I'm getting packages, you know, or come out and sit and wait for the treat. It was always fun. I always enjoyed meeting the dogs and getting to know them.
Yeah, but we had nice up at the deer camp last year, maybe a year and a half ago. I had a little kitten wander up. That thing was about half starving to death. I don't care much for cats, but, you know, I wasn't going to turn him away. And I was up there for the week, and I don't know, he kind of grew on me a little bit. So I named him Lucky, and we got time to come back to the house. So I threw him in the truck. So we made that ride back from Pickens and him in the truck. And he just sprawled out over there in the passenger seat like, you know, that's where he was supposed to be. But when we came home, he jumped out of the truck, and it was game on when he got out of the truck. They weren't having him in the house at all. It took me a day or so to get him to where, get them, all three of them, to where they wouldn't try to kill one another. But it took a little bit, and then I kept him for, I don't know, a month or so. And then the neighbors got two girls that live, you know, up the street a little bit. They come down here and swing on the swing. And they saw him, had a fit for him. So I just, you know, let him go with them. But they got a little chest harness. They come out here and play on the swing, and they pull that thing around like a dog on a leash. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the craziest thing. Just a cat now, solid black.
That's on leashes before, but they're pretty few and far between. You almost have to drag them, most of them. They may follow you, but they'll follow you on their own time.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, one minute they hate you and the next minute they love you. But these two here, they love you all the time. So I don't, you know, KC, he's, I don't know how to word it. It don't matter where I go. If I, you know, go to the bathroom to do my morning constitution, he's right there. If I go to the shop, he's right there. He doesn't take his eyes off of me. And he just sits there and looks at you like, well, you know, what are we doing? What are we going to do next? You know, that kind of thing. But I enjoy having them. Daddy's got two labradoodles. That's the craziest thing. I don't know. I still know what to think about him. But I forget what his name. I dislike them so much. I don't even know their names. We call one Lucifer and the other one Satan. So I don't know. But oh, a labradoodle. I don't know, Shane. That's kind of weird. But KO4NUE with N4ZLK.
Okay, I'm in Georgia, 176, so I'm going to start hilltopping. I know I can talk for a little longer. But yeah, we've got a yellow lab. She's an English lab, so she's stockier and shorter than the American lab and a lot lazier. So basically, she lays around until I get up and go do something. She's the same way. She will follow me around. Doesn't matter if I go outside, go to the next bed, you know, go to a bedroom, go to the, like you said, go to the bathroom. She wants to be right there with me.
And you gotta kind of respect that a little bit, but you know he's got a Casey's got a joint disorder, a genetic disorder. It's called lazy dog syndrome, and it's basically some kind of rheumatoid for dogs. And he's just tired all the time because I think his that disease messes with him. But, you know, he's just big and slow and, you know, just fits right in around here, you know. Just, you know what I mean?
What kind of dog is he? You may have said earlier, but I missed it.
Big long golden. He's got a very regal nose. And he's got, I mean, his tail looks like a flag. He's got, you know, so much hair on it. But, I mean, he's well built and, you know, kind of long legged. He's a beautiful dog. He's just, you know, won't leave me alone sometimes. He's laying over here now looking at me, won't know what I'm doing. But, you know, I can't imagine, you know, the farm being what it is without him. I mean, he just kind of fit right in, you know, especially the circumstances, you know, how I got him. He's, you know, was scheduled for destruction because of his disorder and because he supposedly couldn't get along with other people. But, you know, I pitched a fit at the training facility, and the board finally conceded, you know, to let me take him home and try him for a week. And it's just, you know, it's been something ever since.
Like he is a perfect fit for the farm life and not for whatever else they were trying to do for him. Or some dogs need a little more solitude than others.
Are you able to, you still can read me? Your signal still good enough to talk, Shane?
Yeah, I was on all the way down to Commerce. If the conditions are good. Now, I get a lot of chopping on the receive, but Patrick was telling me the other night that I'm coming through really well.
We'll talk just a little bit. But I'll hang with you till you're no more. That's all I can do. But at any rate, I went through the training with him. It took us a week to go through validations with him, and that was a very interesting week. But he you know, it's kind of interesting story. I'll have to tell you about it one time how it all came about. But, you know, I got ready to leave. They wasn't going to let me have him because he wasn't going to give a veteran a dog that had genetic problems. But he went out there begging to get in the truck, and I pitched a fit, so... I had to go sit in front of the board and explain to them, you know. But they, you know, they conceded, and it's, you know, here we are.
Obviously, they made the right choice. But
well, I understand their perspective. You know, they're representing, you know, giving a dog that is a good animal. So I get what they were trying to say. But sometimes, well, I don't know how to word all of that. But, you know, you're right. It was a perfect match. You couldn't ask for a better match. So he is what he is, and I am what I am, and neither one of us care.
That LK, I'm probably going to drop out of here for a minute. I'm going to go down here by the weigh station in Georgia, drop the way down, and then come back up. Until I start dropping down. That's good, though. I'll cast yeah, sometimes, but I'll probably become ground. I'm supposed to shed. Both my dog was dead. Twice a year. Really dead.
I'll hang around here till you get back up top of the hill and try to end it proper. I'm not sure if you can hear me, but I got a little bit of that, not all of it though. But I'll hang around and you pick back up when you can.
Okay. That last thing, what you said, and you may not have got much of mine, but I'm coming up the top of the hill, so I might go ahead and sign with you. Because I don't know, conditions might not be as good as they were last week.
Good, Shane. If you can hear me, hey, safe travels, 73. And you be safe. It's nice talking to you, bud. And have a good evening. It's KL4NUE, and I'll be clear on your final.
All right, Stella. I copied all that, but I can tell it's getting even. Thanks for the conversation. Enjoy it. Made the time go by a little bit. Have a good evening. I'll see you again. KO4NUE, S4ZFK.